Okay, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to our Los Angeles Regional Adult Education Consortium meeting of September 9th, 2016. Welcome, everybody. We do have a very full agenda, very exciting agenda, so we will get started. We will start with our Pledge of Allegiance. I'd like to invite Miss the Fabulous Monica Balbuena to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you, Monica.
Please stand.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, thank you, Monica. We're going to start with our minutes approval from the previous meeting, which was August 12, 2016, at Burbank Adult School. So we're going to take a few minutes and review the minutes at this time. So this is my first time chairing the meeting. I'm just going to put that out there. So if I do anything wrong, Kathy will let me know. Ms. Montes set the bar pretty high last time around. I think we were out of here in about 45 minutes. But I don't think that's going to be the case this time because we've got a lot of great presentations. So in terms of the minutes, any comments? Yes.
Yeah, just to add Emilio and to the members present by electronically or over
phone.
Via phone. So just add you.
It does say that.
Via phone connection, it looks like.
It's on the next line.
There we go.
Okay. Okay, good.
Good.
That
any other comments, discussion? Okay, I think we need a motion, correct, to adopt the minutes?
Motion.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Let me ask you a question. Do we need the microphone? Can we talk in our teacher voices? Can you hear? Probably don't need the mic. Let me know if we do. Okay, in that case, we'll go to the next item, which is work groups orientation and activities kickoff. I'm not sure who's
okay,
presenting.
Yes, I'm
Mr.
presenting.
Studios.
That's
thank
sorry.
You. That's okay. Thank you.
Okay, and I guess I will use the microphone to make it a little bit easier. Is this thing on?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Just wanted to inform the executive team that the work groups are going to start their activities on October 17th. October 7th. That's when we have scheduled the kickoff for activities, and also it would be the inauguration of. Two more work groups, AEBG AVE math and English, and ASC, adult secondary education. So those are the ones that will be starting activities, adding themselves to ESL counseling and CPEs. In essence, what this meeting is about is to describe to the work groups the activities in the process of implementing the strategies for the LERIC plan. We have created some statements of work, and the statements of work will be shared with the work groups so that they understand what is at hand, what is the task that is at hand, the activities that they're going to have to do. The work groups will themselves set the activities needed in order to implement the strategies and the goals described in the statements of work. And we will hear a little bit more about the statements of work in just a little bit. We actually have some members of the work groups in here describing the information contained, or summarizing, if you will, the information contained on the statements of work. In addition to that, we will set meeting dates through December 31st. So that way we'll have a set of meetings in case anyone is interested in attending those meetings, or you know, so that we have an idea for when to expect information forthcoming from the work groups. And so, originally, the plan, the three-year plan, had outlined 7 work groups. As of today, that has changed a little bit. So instead of 7 work groups, we are going to be looking at 6 work groups. So if you look at basic skills English and basic skills math, those two are going to be combined. And what we have elected to do is that if there is any particular project that needs to be separated out, then we will do that within the confine of the larger work group. But those are the work groups that are to be in place. The one and only that has not been fully implemented as of yet is the technology work group, and that's because we are still waiting for some input from the state on some elements as to what is it that we need to do in terms of the technology elements. But that is forthcoming. I anticipate that sometime during the year that work group will also be activated. So we'll have a total of 6 at that point. So each work group is composed of up to 6 participants from each one of the district members. Okay, so now obviously some districts are bigger than others, and some districts do have 6 people to send to the work group. Other districts don't. So, you know, on average, the 3 work groups that we have about 15 participants in total. So we anticipate that we will have about 15 participants for each one of the work groups that will be created. And this is what we're asking them to do. We're not very easy on the members of the work groups. We require a lot. So far, you know, the members of the work groups have really lived up to our expectations, and they have stepped up and done a tremendous amount of work, really good work at that. So we're asking for a year commitment. So in addition to that, near perfect attendance. We understand that life happens and sometimes people may not be in attendance, but all in all, we would like to have to make sure that they are attending most of the meetings to the extent possible. Again, you know, efficiency and a lot of participation. I mean, these groups require a lot of work and require a lot of commitment. And we like to tell them in advance, not because we want to discourage them, but because, you know, sometimes people may be going through certain circumstances in their lives that may not permit them to be full participants. And so we want them to be aware that this is going to require a lot of time and a lot of sacrifice. Ability to travel throughout the LEREC region. Those meetings rotate. They're not in one place. They're all over the place. Usually the only condition that we have for meeting locations is that the meetings are held at school premises, okay? So all the meetings are held, you know, whether it's morning, afternoon, or evening, at one of the existing schools from any of the 5 member districts in LEREC. In addition to that, we would like for the participants to be computer and research fluent, you know, they need to, or do they need to be flexible, adaptable, and team players. Again, you know, these are things that are skills that we can develop, but they're really important in terms of negotiating with everybody to deliver the documents that they need to do at the end, you know, at within the calendar days. Some of the things that they have to do is, you know, keep meticulous record of their activities, because we need to document the entire activities of the work group such that we have a record of how we have arrived at the products that we are creating. So, for example, you know, they need to have an agenda for every meeting, they have to have signing sheets, they have to have notes and handouts, and all of this needs to be sent back to the project manager of LEREC to make sure that we have a central place where all of this information is being hosted. And in addition to that, we also want them to be as deliberate as possible when making decisions. So for that, we have a rationale, what we call a rationale log, which is basically stating why they made a decision. Not that they can or cannot make a decision, but tell us why. Why did you choose to do that? So that later on, if we need to go back and take a look at the work product and find out why was this particular element in this work product put in, then we will have an answer with the rationale log. Okay, and now we move on to the statement of work, starting with English as a second language. Leah Lerner from Burbank.
Just to show how much he is working us, this is how I'm being tortured. it's not Lance. Now, and as far as perfect attendance, I'm the replacement of the replacement of the replacement. As I missed the last meeting talking about perfect attendance, following in the footsteps of Jesus, or in my case, Moses. I was in Israel, so I wasn't there. So basically, I'm going to stick to my 1 to 3 minutes the way that I was told to do it. This is the recommendation for our ESL assessment, or from the ESL assessment group. So the ESL placement battery will consist of two components. An oral component, listening and speaking, which is the first and most important component. And so the students will be given a set of prompts, a common set of prompts to be determined by a subgroup later, and a common rubric. We determined that an in-house or LERIC-developed assessment would be best, as it meets 5 out of 5 of the principles of effective language assessment. And by the way, we went through all the research on language assessment and so on, so that we come up with this based on thorough research. Teachers assessing oral interviews across LERIC agree that most students can be placed with high rates of accuracy based on the outcome of the oral component of the placement battery. So the oral would be the first one. Writing. A writing assessment, and so this is, again, this is the placement, ESL placement assessment. Two different level prompts will be used, or would be used. For the low levels, it would be picture-based, and for the high levels, it would be a reading prompt with strong rubrics. I mentioned the fact that it's a writing placement exam. However, it will automatically cover the reading because the students have to read the prompt. So the writing component would give assessors the additional understanding of accurate placement for students who have gaps between different language skill components, such as those who speak very well and might appear high level, but who, in completing a writing assessment, have very limited writing skills. Additional elements, teacher's favorite is grammar. Grammar would be embedded in more authentic real-world oral and writing assessment tasks, and level-appropriate structures would be listed by prompts. So it would be embedded. There wouldn't be a grammar test per se. Language development specialists and WIOA, California, State of California, labor, business, government agencies all emphasize actual communication skills as opposed to perfect grammar for college, career, and community readiness and success. CASAS, of course, was mentioned, a CASAS pretest. The CASAS test itself should not be utilized to ascertain placement. However, it may be administered upon intake, time and space permitting, to be determined by each school or district. So here, because we have different rules, different people who do the CASAS or administer the CASAS test, we would not use it for placement itself. But if a district chooses to do that, then that would be okay. So this was the ESL placement assessment battery. As far as the ESL promotional assessment battery, we recommend a blended approach, a multiple assessment system. Again, based on research and policy, or research shows and policy requires that the four language skills are equally important and must be assessed. An exit exam must correspond to course curriculum. That's what I was about to add. English language proficiency skills must be incorporated into instruction. The exit exam may be used as a formative assessment tool for the next class. And competencies may be assessed and considered mastered by demonstration during the course term by student work. So the productive skills, speaking and writing, are best assessed in this manner. By using group projects, by using performance-based speaking tasks, writing portfolios, written assignments, chapter tests, unit tests, note-taking, so they can be done as mentioned. The receptive skills, reading and listening comprehension, are best assessed by standardized testing. Standard minimum cutoff scores should be agreed upon by all stakeholders. So students who come to Burbank should, you know, not, I mean, the assessment shouldn't work differently for those going to an LACC or any of the LARIC members. Teacher observation should be a component in the final decision to retain or promote. It's always the mostly the same conversation comes up. What if I, as a teacher, know that the student is not ready, even though he scored quite well on the exam? So teacher observation should also be a component in the final decision. So we recommend a comprehensive multiple assessment system to include curriculum-based exit exams that test all four language skills, skill proficiencies, teacher observation and comments, student self-evaluation component, receptive skills, reading comprehension and listening comprehension. We recommend to develop a standardized in-house or revise and update existing assessments, include grammar and topical vocabulary that correspond to course outlines, use authentic language, produce one test per level or per course outline, and separate reading and listening components into two sections. The productive skills, speaking and writing, create comprehensive common rubrics for reliability of authentic language assessment instruments to evaluate students at each level, and they can be assessed by demonstration of competences during the course term. And what's very important is train teachers to establish common grader standards. So there has to be some norming within the members of or among the members of that.
Thank you.
Okay, so now we'll have the counseling group come up to do their presentation.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh,
thank you. Group of one.
Group of
what?
Group of what? Representative.
I will say that I joined the counseling work group a little late in the year, but I will also say that it's the most exciting and best work group of all the work groups ever. Okay? So I'll say that because I'm going to share with you a couple of the objectives that we had for last year, a couple of objectives for this new year, and we'll talk about a couple of the pilots and the deliverables, and I'll just tell you that it's exciting times in the counseling world, and I'm very happy to know that the community colleges and the adult school K-12 is going to really have a counseling tool that's shareable, it's workable, and it's going to benefit students greatly. And that is our individualized student plan. And that individualized student plan, also known as the ISP, is it meets the requirements for the community colleges and for our adult school intake and counseling purposes. I just think it's going to be a wonderful tool. And that was the focus of the counseling work group's work this last year. We also started and will continue to work on what we're calling the best practices, counseling best practices manual. However,
we spent a lot of time on the ISP because we wanted to get it right. So we're a little behind on the best practices manual, but we will be focusing on that in the year to come. And we will have something fabulous as well for that, I promise. So those are the two main focuses of the counseling work group. I will say that having this tool for our students, it's going to be a tool that will be able to be used at the very beginning of their journey, and it will take them on through job placement. And that is just something that we wanted to do, and that the LARIC situation has just forced us to organize and to make happen. So I'm just going to ask Lancy, did I cover everything? Do I need to say something else? All right, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Monica. And now we're going to have the CTE work group. Now, the CTE work group is going to take slightly longer. The reason for that is that they have not really presented their accomplishments for last year. So they're going to go in a little bit more detail on that particular information as well. So we have Alma Alvarez, we have Henry Fimbres, and we also have Anna Martinez participating in the presentation. So if you guys like to come up, please.
Now this is a group.
Now this is a group.
Part of the group. Before we get started, also I would like to mention that us, like the counseling, are good at our group as well, and we went one step further, and instead of doing so we were able to accomplish another pathway during last year's version. So if you go to the next slide. Okay, so this is one of the pathways that you're going to see, 7, and they're all very similar, but they have multiple entries and multiple exit points, especially when there's a student that is deficient or needs some reading, has a reading deficiency or a math deficiency. We've incorporated Babe and Vessel classes to be part of it so that they could take these courses concurrently, so that eventually they will be able to go a little bit further down the line to taking any of the courses. I'll be very brief on this one. For example, when they go, if they're deficient on reading or math, they do concurrently with keyboarding, get some practice on keyboarding. Then they go forward to computer operator 2. When they get to computer operator 2, they could get a job through that, at that component. So that could be a multiple entry, multiple exit. They could go get a job. They can also come back and take the next one. So not everyone wants to do database, because some may be clerical staff and they may just want to do computer 1 and 2 and 3 possibly. Maybe we have some our supervisory skills that need the presentation component. So there will be multiple entry exit points throughout our pathways, and we will notice on some of them that Alma and Henry will be speaking of. Thank you.
As part of the CTE work group, our objective was to identify safe career pathways and also develop them, and to make sure that they were in high demand and high employability of position. So we, as a team work group, within all the groups, the district, we voted for health information technology, pharmacy technician, especially pharmacy technician, because it's offered throughout all the districts. So we were looking at assessments, we were looking at prerequisites, we were looking at analyzing what each district does and combining all of those requirements and assessments to come into one, so that no matter where the student goes to, they will have the same requirements, the same process, the same assessment. So let's say they started at East Los Angeles Skills Center, or Service Area, what we have last year, they would start here, let's say, for example, with the assessment, counseling appointment, and maybe medical terminology. And if a student maybe moved to Burbank or Montebello, they will transfer that information, and they will continue with their program, with their pharmacy simulation program, if that's the next step. Versus starting everything all over again from assessment, meeting with the counselor, and maybe if they have different requirements. So as a team, we make sure to analyze each of the assessments and make sure that each one of them voted or agreed on that assessment, or maybe come up with one that will be beneficial for every single district. So we went through assessments here in the pharmacy pathway. We were looking at the different types of scenarios, the different types of students, especially students with low reading and math scores. There is no, you cannot do it because you have a low reading or a low math. Instead, we're implementing the VESEL courses, a VESEL to help the students improve on their English and their reading and their vocabulary. And also, if their scores are low in math, we are also providing a math base class. And along with the VESEL program and the BASE, we want to integrate a CT course, which will be medical terminology, so that the student is exposed to the pharmacy terminology and the vocabulary. So those three at the same time, the student will be taking those three courses through a period maybe 1 to 3, so that they can accelerate their learning and also move a little bit faster to reach their goal, which will be pharmacy technician.
I just have a quick question about that. Was it hard? I know we're not doing that, but since I'm the only one up here, you can't stop me. Was it hard to get those three districts to agree to that, or was that kind of everybody walked away going, this is important enough that we all want to be on the same page?
At the beginning, it was hard because some districts, each one had some different requirements, and it was different because we wanted, let's do it this way, no, let's do it this way. So we did have a lot of agreement and going back and forth, but at the end of the day, we all agreed that the pharmacy technician program leads to employment, and it also leads to an industry certification, and those are the things that students are looking for. They want to come in, they want to receive a training, and they want to find employment. And they also want certifications that says, I am a pharmacy technician. So we all had that into agreement, and it was just a matter of putting everything on the board and crossing out and saying yes and voting. We had the thumbs up group, and then from there we kept going on the pathway.
Okay. And this one's somewhat critical in the sense that not everyone can get into it if they don't have a high school diploma.
Right.
So we ensured that we incorporated some of the deficient factors for them so that they have the capability of entering that program.
And then
Henry's
going to talk about the security officer.
Thank you. So we wanted protective services and public service as part of one of the pathways, and we chose this because there is high employability, and most people who complete these types of classes are employed either short term or long term, depending upon what it is they're trying to accomplish. So,
excuse me, Henry, can you tell them your background for a little bit?
I'm sorry. Yeah, my name is Henry Fimbers. I'm from Montebello Community Adult Schools, and I teach protective services, security training, law enforcement occupations. I was in law enforcement for about 20 years, former chief of police, former school police officer, worked in different capacities, and
so you know your stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
A little bit. So we put this assessment together, or this pathway together, because it leads to different options. There's different options at the end of this type of training. Many people will come in with limited skills. Security, for the most part, security is entry level. For the most part, entry level employment. And with that being said, the minimum requirements to become a security officer for a private security in this company in the state of California is a guard registration training. So, in order to obtain that training, you have to take a state test. So you have to be able to read and write at an acceptable level. There is no and per requirement as to what that level is. It's the ability to read and understand the booklet that's provided to you and to take the test. So what we agreed upon was assessments. The students would meet the educational plan counselor advisor in addition to meeting with the instructor to assess their ability to continue on in the program. If we feel that they cannot read at an acceptable level to understand the documents, then we would recommend that you take a VESOL class or participate in any of our ESL classes or VABE classes to meet those skills to be able to understand the written documentation and pass those state examinations. So once they enroll with our class, they meet the assessments or the minimum requirements. They come into our class. There's a multiple entry and exit points. People could come into our class and just take the guard registration program, which is 24 hours of training. And once they're done, apply for state certification and get a job. And if that's all they're looking for, then their goal is met. But they can take their training elsewhere, get a state certification, and come back to us and take one of the other classes that we may offer for state certification to upgrade their training, such as baton permit, firearm, school security, whatever it is they're looking to accomplish. And once they're done with us, again, they could immediately get a job in the security industry, private or public security industry, or they could go on to continue their education at a location like a community college or one of the universities, or they could start preparing themselves to apply for a law enforcement position as an entry-level law enforcement position with any of the government entities that are hiring. Like I said, there's multiple entry-exit points. People can come in and take one or two classes with us, or they can take the full program with us, or just take one or two classes and be done with it. Thank you.
This is the electrician pathway, and this is our seventh pathway, the radiologic technician pathway. We already have a lot of work in the work group team, and as a teacher advisor here at Los Angeles Skill Center, and we have the radiologic technician program, I presented to this team, what if we do a radiologic technician program, and I presented my idea because as of this year, ART is asking any participant, any person interested to become a radiologic technician, they need to have, or they must have an associate's degree. So I thought it would be a great example where we, district colleges and K-12 into developing a plan where we all come together. So at East Los Angeles Skill Center, well now East Los Angeles Professional Center, they have the radiologic technician program. Our program is very new, unique in California, in Los Angeles, because we are the only public school that offers the X-ray technician program and the radiologic technician program in a two-year program. If students go to a community college, it's usually a two-year program, and when the student completes, they complete the program with an associate's degree and in radiologic technician. Our students would have to go through the X-ray program first. They complete the program, they take the stable exam, they pass the board, and then they come back to do the radiologic technician. So that has been the pathway here at East Los Angeles. But as of last year, we have to start presenting to the students, if you're interested in the radiologic technician program, you need to have an associate's degree. Well, can I do an associate's degree at your school? Unfortunately, the answer was always no, we can't. But we would refer them to community colleges to do their associate's degree. So for this pathway, what we have here is the students would have two different multiple entries where they can go and apply at a community college. Community college is also very impacted. They have a very long waiting list. So they wait for years and years to be called to get into the radiologic technician program. So when we were having our conversation, what we did is students can come in through K-12, start with the X-ray program, then connect with community colleges to work on their associate's degree, or simultaneously work as they're doing the X-ray program, they can also take college courses to get closer to the associate degree. If a student is done with the X-ray, they can apply at community colleges for the artsy program, or they can continue with their associate degree, and then they can come back to K-12 to complete the second part, which is the radiologic leadership program. So this was a great, well, not a great idea, but I love presenting it. But this year college, the colleges were very happy. They also shared with us that their waiting lists are super long. So if we can maybe use this as a pilot program, that would be great.
What colleges were have that?
We were working with
Trayton.
Trayton.
Mm-hmm.
The city college has it.
LA City.
I just want to take a moment, if I may, just to really congratulate all the teachers on their work and the work groups. As you can tell, there's just tremendous work that has been completed in a relatively short period of time. So I just want to thank each and every one of you here. Thank you to the presenters. And I want to thank our school administrators as well, because this work doesn't happen without their support as well. And we know that a lot of the teachers have to take time away from the school site. Of course, as administrators, you've got to sort of figure out how that work's going to get done, you know, in the absence of, you know, some folks, and you've got to attend meetings and putting that work in. So I just want to say that very impressive the work that's been done. So thank you so much for the presentations.
Okay, now we'll have a few members of the work groups. A few members of the point persons team to speak on behalf of the work groups that have not been started as of yet. So they're going to be going over a summary of what, in a very short summary, of what their statement of work is going to be. So we're going to start with Yvette Fimbres from Montebello Unified School District.
So I'll be speaking on the AD Math and the English work group, because now we're combining the two. And so we're gonna have the work group go through and the math objectives that we'd like them to evaluate the need for the curriculum alignment. And with math, we're gonna have them evaluate the development of alternative math pathways. We're gonna have them evaluate the content sequence and purpose of the existing curriculum and develop a curriculum report and proposals designed to meet the needs of students. And for English, we're going to have them evaluate the feasibility of the ABD Level 1 literacy. For both, and we're going to be working together, in the assessment, alignment, and integration, they're going to evaluate current assessment and propose up to 3 courses of action designed to align and to integrate assessments in the region, develop a regional assessment crosswalk. We're going to have them evaluate the CTE pathways to determine new entry points for ABD students, develop base curriculum for each of the 6 existing CTE career pathways, and align base curriculum with CTE pathways curriculum. We have them support and evaluate pilot programs. And we currently have, for math, we have the basic math curriculum and embedded competency-based framework. That's one of LAUSD's pilot programs, as well as LAUSD has the IBEST math for photovoltaic installers and the IBEST math for electricians. Montebello Unified has Schmoop. It's an online math instructional program, and it's also Schmoop is also an online English instructional program. We will also conduct and focus. We'll have both conduct and a student focus group to gather input from students of each of the listed. So for English, for their pilot programs, we have the Reading Horizons with LA Unified School District, and also LA Unified has Burlington Distance Learning. And LA Unified also has, in addition to Schmoop, they have Let's Talk, which is a phonics-based instruction. Both work groups, English and math, will have deliverable curriculum alignment report that will be due in December, the end of December. An assessment, alignment, and integration report, which will also be due at the end of December. A base curriculum and course outline. We have due dates for that being December and at the end of June. And they'll present student focus group findings and highlights in November. And pilot program summary reports will those be shared throughout the year.
Very nice. Short and sweet. Thank you. Now we have ASE, which is Adult Secondary Education, and then Yanita Chavez is going to be presented. Yanita Chavez from Burbank Unified School District will be presenting on that. Thank you.
Good afternoon. So I'll be presenting on the objectives, the pilot program. Pilot program in the neighborhood. So the objectives for this school year, 2016-17, are to evaluate the need for high school diploma program alignment. Also to the different approaches that we will obtain high school diploma computers. The articulation and also to identify promising practices. There's going to be assessment integration in alignment, which will require evaluation of current assessment and propose up to term recommendations to align and integrate assessment in the region, as well as to develop a regional assessment coursework. We all have LAUSD piloting the HNUED independent studies in online high school diploma courses, as well as the ASPEC distance learning. Culver City will be piloting the APEC high school online program. Montebello will be piloting their policy to performance in college one-on-one transition. I'm confident that all this will be will provide good feedback to our consortium, and we look forward to doing more in the future meetings. All of these are pretty much due by November 30th, and I know that we all want to do our best to complete it on time, because we have a good project manager that is always on top of our So again, by November 30th, we should have the high school diploma alignment and articulation. By November 31st, we should have the report progress in the alignment for high school equivalency. By November 31st, we should have the dual enrollment and assessment alignment. And the only one that is kind of flexible at this point will be the pilots, because we all work differently. But again, we all work together, put a lot of effort on everything that we do, so I'm sure that we will complete everything that is given to us on time. And that's pretty much what I have. Thank you very much.
All right, once again, short and sweet. The next presenter actually is going to, you've been hearing a lot of information about pilot programs that we're conducting, and we talked briefly, I talked briefly about strategies and whatnot. And so what Matthew is going to be doing fairly soon, Matthew Overlander, he is going to be talking about innovation in pilot programs and trying to put the pilot programs in context so that we can all see how do they fit into the work of the consortium in compliance with AB 104.
Thank you. So, good afternoon. My name is Matthew Overlander. I'm the LARIC point person for the LAUSD. In a few minutes, as Lindsay mentioned, you're going to hear about... So we're going to hear about some of LARIC's exciting pilot initiatives. But before that, as Lindsay mentioned, I'm going to provide some background and context. So I'm going to go to the next slide. So I wanted to start with the vision statement. because this really is the foundation for all of LARIC's work. As you can see, it's a very comprehensive vision statement. And since this is only a two-hour meeting, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. but I did want to point out a couple and highlight a couple words and phrases that I think relate to the pilots. So if you could click the... So improve adult education, regionally relevant, collaborative, student-centered, data-driven, and 21st century skills. I think these phrases will kind of guide the selection, implementation, and evaluation of the LARIC pilot program. They also capture that general spirit of innovation that is at the heart of LARIC. So in terms of the legislative background, Assembly Bill 104, AB 104, calls consortium members to work together to improve the effectiveness of the state's adult education system. The legislation also provides a framework for this improvement process by laying out several objectives. So as you can see, integration and seamless transitions, gaps in services, acceleration of student progress, shared professional development, and leveraging resources. So all of this is sort of the framework within which the pilots emerged. These objectives provide focus and coherence to the work being done throughout the entire state. So AB 104 also asks each consortium to create a plan. So based on those objectives and based on the additional data and guidance provided by the state, LARIC performed a self-study to identify student needs and gaps in services and to develop a plan to address those needs and gaps. The final report, which is called the LARIC Regional Comprehensive Plan, there you go, or RCP, which is available online at LARIC.net, if you are interested, was a product of a truly collaborative process with input from students, teachers, administrators, and a lot of different community members and partners. In addition to identifying the needs and gaps, the RCP also presents some overarching strategies for how to meet the needs and address the gaps throughout the region. So if you look down there, define bridges and pathways, that's one of the overarching strategies. Develop comprehensive student supports, that's another. And then delineate common data, information, and accountability systems. So how does this all connect to the pilots that you're going to hear about? I wanted to give you just two quick examples. So for example, you know, we identify a need, the lack of access, which typically relates to geographical barriers or time and scheduling barriers for students. That's part of what AB 104 asks us to do. We identify the need. Then the strategy that the RCP provides or recommends is online distance learning. That's actually a sub-strategy of the bridges and pathways overarching strategy. And that provides the basis for this high school equivalency preparation online distance learning pilot that you'll be hearing about in a few minutes. So that's sort of the connection. I'll do one more quickly. So the identified need, lack of counseling and student support, and that's huge. And Monica Baldwin was just talking about that. The strategy is to develop comprehensive student supports, and that's the basis for, again, the online individualized student plan that we're going to hear more about. So that's the connection. That's the flow. It's clean, simple and clean. So the next slide, now that you know the background and context, you're going to hear from representatives from all the member districts, and they're going to talk about the innovative work that's happening throughout LARIC. Each presentation is going to include these four items, which is the description, the benefits, the criteria for success, and then the student participants. So thank you very much, and enjoy the presentation.
I want popcorn, I'm just saying.
Okay. I'll go start making.
Thank you, Matthew. And now, if I can ask the presenters to please introduce themselves. This is turning out to be a lot of work getting after introducing everybody. So,
and we don't want to overwork you.
You must apologize to me. That's my poor attempt at comedian. That is one of those goals that I never realized. You know, so the perfect opportunity here. So if you can please introduce yourselves and go over the four elements that we pointed out. Thank you.
Hello, good afternoon. My name is Manuela Mesa. I am part of the Burbank Unified School District. I work specifically at Burbank Adult Schools. and I am happy to present today our vessel medical terminology, vessel medical anatomy and physiology, and vessel medical math pilot programs. We were glad to work with them during the summer, so we already applied the pilot template in the summer, and based on the four items that were asked, the pilot description and the student participants, these pilots were created thinking about ESL students that are in level 4, 5, or 6, because we were facing a very high enrollment in the ESL programs compared to the CPE programs, very low enrollment. So we were thinking, what is the problem here? Why they are not enrolling in the CPE programs? And we have even waiting lists on the ESL programs. So we created this bridge with the vessel program to encourage the students and prepare them so they can feel that they're ready to enroll in the CPE programs, specifically pharmacy technician, clinical medical assistant, and certified nurse assistant. So we created them for ESL students. The description is that the students are gonna be provided with the basic knowledge on these three areas, all related with the medical field, and so they can then enroll to a CTE program, one of the three that I mentioned. The benefits that were expected for the students to complete successfully this program and for them to feel ready to enroll in the CTE programs and then hopefully be able to get a job in these areas. So also the success, these programs were organized in 6 weeks, 1.5 hours of instruction on 2 days a week, either Monday and Wednesday, on Tuesday and Thursday, so a total of 3 hours per week for 6 weeks. And the students were required to have at least 80% of the attendance, and they were provided with all the materials necessary to get this knowledge. So we did not use any specific books, we just provided them with materials, worksheets, flashcards, handouts. We also did a lot of role play. So the problem that was faced at the end is like, we need to implement more life scenarios so the students can see how they're gonna apply this medical terminology, let's say in the pharmacy field. So they were mentioning on the pharmacy technician pathways, I heard something like pharmacy terminology. So this is how I did on the medical terminology. I implemented like scenarios in the pharmacy where they can use the pharmacy terminology and they can see, okay, this is really useful. I'm not just learning this and I'm not gonna use it later. So these are the maybe the changes that we have to implement for the future programs. And our outcomes were very successful, and the students were also expecting to get maybe a certificate at the end, but I think it's too early for them to get a certificate, because then once they get the certificate, they think they're done with the career, which is only a first step. So what I did for my students, I created a letter of recommendation so they can, okay, this letter of recommendation says that the student completed successfully the medical terminology program and is one of the prerequisites for, let's say, pharmacy technician. Because we were thinking to put as a prerequisite medical terminology and medical math for pharmacy technician, and for medical assistant and CNA, anatomy and physiology, and medical technology. So that you don't use too much of the math. So this is my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
I was hoping Lancey would get up.
You're so scary.
I sound nervous. I'm not nervous. It's just cold in here.
No, it's not.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Elvis Carillas. I'm representing Culver City. I think on here there's one pilot, but I'm going to try to do two. So let's go with the first one. Let's do the EL Civics pilot. How many of you guys are familiar with EL Civics? A lot of money. Okay, so this sort of pilot wasn't necessarily our idea. I have to give credit to who credit is due, and this was part of LAUSD. So I came up with the idea, and they approached us, and they said if we would like to try it. So we decided we have nothing to lose. We need some kind of assessment, alignment either way. And so that's how this came about. So the project description. The pilot project consists of a Neo Civics co-op. You guys know what co-op means?
No, I don't know.
Civic objectives and additional assessment plans. And we're going to use this as a promotional assessment tool for writing and speaking, as a writing and speaking skill. The idea is to use the EL Civic for both the payment point and as a promotional assessment to minimize the amount of testing a student needs to take, especially towards the end of a term or course. So this pilot is Culver City's efforts aimed at integration and seamless transition activities. The expected benefits. There are two. There's one for the students and there's one for sort of for the school. So the students will benefit from civic education, which is social issues through community experiences with ESL instruction. Civics helps students have the potential of being positive force and participating civilians in their community. The second benefit is for the school. The school program will have no need to develop a different writing speaking assessment for those English language learners, which will EL Civics test during the course anyways, right? On a grander scale, we expect to create a common promotional scores within Culver City for our ELL population. The criteria for success. So students will demonstrate the ability to complete a DMV accident reporting form. They're going to write a narrative sequence of a traffic accident event and participate in role-playing describing a traffic accident with a Q&A format. The students will demonstrate proficiency in these activities based on the civic objectives scoring rubric. And for those who don't know, each EL Civic has to be pre-approved from the state before we can use it. So we have to apply for it, and then once it's approved, then we can use it. The participants in this case, we used a ESL intermediate level conversation class. We just thought that was sort of the best thing since they're already using and they're already practicing their speaking skills anyway. So this class consisted of beginning high, intermediate low, intermediate high, and a few ABE students. So it was a good mix. The ESL teacher monitored the writing test and the assistant proctored the speaking test with each student individually. So that part of the pilot is already done. We've already applied. We've already done it. We're sort of in the evaluation process at this point. See what's good, what didn't work, and you know, what's the grading scale and so forth. All right, so that one's that. So the other one was Apex Learning. I wrote this one last night through painkillers, so bear with me. So APEX is an online high school software program where students interact with digital curriculum. Since APEX offers descriptive courses, we can use data to identify students' weaknesses and to move them forward from the course, topics, or subjects students already master. So in other words, you could just move them towards completing courses quicker than we have traditionally done. And this is crucial for our adult population, who has other priorities in addition to education. The benefits. We expected a higher rate of high school diploma completers. We've already seen an increase since we started using it in the spring of 2016. Mm-hmm. Correct? Yeah. And we have that data to back it up. I didn't bring it, so it's there. Also, we appeal more to those generational learners who need technology to focus, right? They're going to want the phone and all that stuff. So APEX is directly intended to accelerate learning at Culver City, which is Objective 5 of our annual plan. Everybody already knows that. Huh? Okay, for example, our ASU program is open, 4 days a week? And with APEX, they have the ability to study 7 days a week. Students can also take multiple courses at a time with APEX. At the same time with APEX, they can take an in-class course and a distance learning course if needed or desired. APEX is great for those busy learners who prefer studying at home. In short, APEX is blended learning at its best and is a powerful tool for those students that take advantage of it. The criteria for success. So success is measured by course completers and high school diploma earners. Another indicator is the total number of APEX enrollees who prefer blended learning over the usual, right? So we have an agency-determined passing grade, which is aligned in all of our ASU classes. This is a positive for Culver City. Every course must be mastered in order to be considered completed, and it's overseen by each of our instructors. So the participants refers to our ASU program in general. And all of our students who feel comfortable and qualified, meaning they have the technical skills and devices, with taking online courses are encouraged. All right, thanks for your time, guys.
Hi, my name is Adrienne Ann Mullen, and I'm also Dr. Robert B. Miller today as well. He unfortunately got called away to our district office. Our pilot is really program co-enrollment. It's a very basic concept. We're in the process of the community college district really building our infrastructure across 9 colleges. So every college in our allocation is in the process of hiring a dean. We haven't onboarded all those deans yet. I think we have 1 out of 9 onboarded at this point. Also, to allocate resources for counseling to bring, you know, greet students at the door where they're at and put them on the trajectory where they want to go. So, you know, our slogan is meet you where you're at and take you anywhere, and that's what we want to do. So this program co-enrollment is really that all the colleges will come together, and we're going to leverage our partnerships across grants, community-based organizations, educational programs and institutions, and population. So we're going to, you know, bring together diverse groups of students and create referrals, screens, job development and placement, college assessment, advising, and orientation. So we're looking at all the strategies as well as all the objectives. And then that will go across 9 colleges. So you're going to see 9 flavors of that. There's going to be common threads and common themes, so you'll have 9 flavors. We'll flush that out once we get our deans hired, because it's hard to say you're going to do this college or this program at this college when we don't have the infrastructure in place. So we wrote a very general concept for our pilot, and then it'll come up with 9 flavors. And then the other part that we're doing at our district level is we're coming up with a way to roll this out. As we all know, the dollars came down late. We were already through our year. That was very hard for us to do that. So we filled gaps last year, but now we want to have a thoughtful approach. So you'll hear more about that as we move forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Mark Calvin from Los Angeles Unified School District. I haven't had any painkillers. I'll do the best I can. High school equivalency distance learning.
You're definitely not on painkillers. You would have bopped you.
Yeah, I would have been. Actually, I'm going to lie down. Thank you. High school equivalency distance learning combines an online course anytime, any place, with a one-on-one, face-to-face teacher and student conferencing. Under the supervision of a teacher, students are going to be using ASTEC, which is a web-based comprehensive high school equivalency preparation software, which begins by assessing them. And pretests in each of the subject areas basically generates a study plan for them that they're going to use as they begin to study online. We recommend that conferencing takes place weekly or every 2 weeks. This allows teacher and student to review a very, very detailed progress report that the program generates, and to handle questions, to set goals, and also to determine any other resources that a student needs to be successful. The key benefit here is we have a gap. There are students who have faced barriers that have prevented them from taking advantage of conventional high school equivalency preparation programs, and this provides them an online flexible alternative. Students are able to immediately, begin working on their goals and working on their skills, unhindered by things like geography, work schedules, transportation, and they just avoid these factors that have up till now stood in the way of them achieving a high school credential. In addition, students who are already in our program can accelerate their learning. So, for example, if a student is taking a career technical education course, now they have the opportunity to concurrently begin studying for their high school equivalency credential. Right now in our division, it costs about $100 to take the high school equivalency test. Now, obviously, this in itself represents a kind of barrier. So we're working with other programs to explore the idea of finding a way to pay for these fees. So not only will we remove this barrier, but this will be an incentive to finish the online program. In terms of our criteria for success, like everyone at the beginning of the season, we hope to bat 500 at least. So we're looking to really have 50% of the students who do the online preparation to pass the test and actually receive the credential. In terms of participation, obviously we know from the evidence that there are many, many people out there who lack this credential. In this case, we feel strongly that charity begins at home. So we know that for every student who is in our adult program and every student that's in our K-12 program, for every one of those students, there's probably or very likely someone at home that lacks this credential. And this pilot will really provide an opportunity for those students to achieve this credential.
Back. I'll just do this. Okay. Okay, as far as the very exciting individualized student plan, the ISP was developed with a joint input from all of the representatives of the different members of the LERIC groups. And the ultimate goal of the ISP is to provide a roadmap that takes the students from the entry point to their academic and employment goals. So the tool will assist counselors during the intake process and then throughout the student's academic career and throughout their educational journey with us. It includes the demographic information, educational and career goals, a path and a path to reach those goals.
And it really, I think that everything that we're talking about, when I saw the presentation on the pathways, how wonderful that we just plug, someone can just plug right into one of those pathways, no matter where their entry point is. It's fabulous. So the student-driven smartphone, tablet, computer app will allow students to enter their demographic information, to identify their career goals, just self-identify, to identify barriers to employment and barriers to attending classes, and to find a program that's close to them. So come with me a year from now, we'll time travel real quick to a year from now, where I'll be riding on a bus and I'm sick and tired of my job and I want to get a new job, and I can look for, on my phone, while I'm riding on the bus, I can plug in, I want adult education, and the app will come up, you download the app, and you say, I want to be a certified nurse assistant, and it will take you enter your information, no more filling out forms and having to wait. It will even schedule you an appointment to see a counselor. And suppose you start in a program, we'll go 6 months into it, and you're having problems, you're not able to attend school. It will start sending you emails and possibly texts, we're not sure about that, but to say, hey, we haven't seen you, why don't you come in and see the counselor? And counselors, from their end, will be able to say, on Thursdays from 1 to 6 is when I am available to talk to students. So it will automatically, if a student requests to see a counselor, it will plug an appointment into for that counselor. So it's so flexible and so helpful for counselors as well as for our students. So how will we determine, well, let me just say, from the counseling point of view, it helps to manage student enrollment, registration, and completion. It helps us to view the progress and update. We can update the ISP as needed, because we know that we see lots of students that come in and say, I really want to get into the nursing field, but I really don't want to touch anybody. incongruent sort of stuff. We're even thinking about maybe exposing them to a little interest inventory that they can do on their own. It doesn't have no labor intensive cost as far as a counselor having to even administer the test. So just excited about that. It also, we hope, once they identify their barriers, we hope to take it to the level where it will help connect students with resources to remove those barriers. So I can't go to school because I don't have childcare. Well, you know, Para Los Niños has a program where they will watch your kids for you while you go to school, so they can those resources can be connected to each other. And as I said, the counselor can reach out to students via email saying, hey, I haven't seen you, why don't you come in? And all of these features are very automatic and super helpful for limited counseling, you know, resources that we have at our school. And how will we determine the criteria for success? It's still a little to be determined, but I would say that the number of hits or the number of time that students and counselors spend using the app will really eventually tell us how successful this pilot will be. And we hope to have it implemented sometime in the next few months at a few of the other participating schools.
We want to play, just so you know.
We'll play.
Yeah.
Good afternoon again. My name is Henry Kimbris. Went away. And contrary to popular belief on the slide, I am not from LA Community College District. I'm from Montebello School District. I went to school in the LA Community College District. All right, so I'm going to talk about career cruising, or a couple of the pilot programs that we're implementing at the Montebello Community Adult Schools. Career cruising is the first one that we're going to talk about. Is anybody here familiar with career cruising? What's non-white software is available. It's comprehensive, and what it will allow the students to do is actually unveil their potential. It'll allow them to determine what interests they have. It'll allow them to explore different career opportunities that they may be interested in, and develop a plan to meet those goals, either whether it be educational or employment goals. Students in the program that are enrolled in the Career Cruising Online program will learn about their career, learn about career possibilities and educational pathways. How will they be able to do this? Well, we would register them online, and once we open it up and start utilizing it, students will be able to access it remotely. So it's not just specific to an actual school site, that they could actually access it remotely from wherever they're at and punch in their interests and see what piques their interest, what different careers are out there and what the pathways are to reach those. So it'll do several things. One, they'll learn about themselves and their interests, and sometimes it's things that they may not even have known that they wanted to do. And it's kind of funny, the other day a few of my colleagues were talking about this, and we said, we're excited, we want to punch in our information and create a profile. And my comment was, well, I'm afraid this may be this may not be the right career for me, do something else. So, but again, it'll allow students to the opportunity to experience different careers and possibilities and what it takes to get to those careers. And it will allow them to make an informed action plan to meet the career goals or educational goals. Next slide, please. So the students, once we set up their plan, will be able to go online and create their own profile. And there's several questions that it asks them. What interests do they have? What is it that they want to do? In addition to that, the program is several different languages. To be honest, I don't know how many exact languages, but there are several languages that they could best suit them. So it's not just English, there's several languages. In addition to that, so they create their profile and what it is they want to do, either educational or employment-wise, and the career cruising program will provide a pathway for the students to meet those career goals or educational goals. It'll provide opportunities and different options on how to meet those goals. In addition to that, let's say one of our students in our CTE classes creates a profile, and they know they're going to move in a couple of months to a different part of the country, a different part of the state, a different county. They could go into career cruising in their profile, look at their pathway, and click on a region based upon the regions that are available on there, and the program will provide schools and employment in that particular field or that particular pathway that are close to them in which they can explore possibly attending. Next one, please. So the Career Cruising Pilot Program will initially be introduced to our CTE, our Career Technical Education students, as a pilot, and it's going to be implemented to the rest of the classes and other campuses within our Montebello Community Adult School. I say other campuses, I'm at Ford Park Adult School, and that's where we're going to initially pilot it, and eventually it's going to move to our other campuses. One of the neat things about career cruising is, in addition to creating your profile and your pathway and finding out what schools offer those courses that are in your pathway, there's also an employment website. Well, it's connected with an employment website in which they can explore different current positions that are open that fall within their current abilities. So So let's say, for example, somebody comes to one of my courses, a security training program, and they have their profile set up, and they're okay, they're, education-wise, they're good with what they've achieved. They could go into the employment portion of career cruising, and it's connected with Indeed.com, and they can explore different positions that may be available in the security field in just about anywhere in the United States. So, again, we're excited to be able to introduce this to our students. I think it's something that we believe that it's something that that will benefit all the students in our school, in our school district, as well as eventually possibly other district schools within the Lara community.
Is Career Cruising it's a web-based program?
Yes.
Right. Is it free?
No. No.
Is it like a what do you call that when you pay a subscription?
It's a subscription. It's not a per license or
got
anything
it.
Like that. So you know, you could put as many computers on it, but it's individual student profiles.
Got
it.
It
is a subscription.
Got it. By the student profile.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Very reasonable.
Yeah.
Right now it's 3 years for between 5,000 and 6,000 with 3 different training sessions.
Mm-hmm. So what a student
overarching program.
Yeah.
For students to find out in the area. It also leads them to other careers that maybe they weren't thinking of. It's real comprehensive.
Our high school uses it.
So when a student enrolls and, let's say, transitions, moves on, goes to the college, goes to another district, does the account follow the student, or is it really just tied to the enrollment in that particular district?
No, once their a profile is created for them, that profile is created for them. And I don't know the technological portions of it. If your password expires after 6 months or a year or whatever, but our goal is once they are created, a profile is created for them. So long as we have a subscription, they can access it, and hopefully they'll come back and continue to take advanced classes with us or reach their career goal that they're trying to reach in the first place. Other questions? Okay. That takes me to the next one. Our other pilot program is implementing a career resource center within our Mungo Community Adult School. What we're looking at is to establish one at Ford Park Adult School campus, and our goal is to have the career center open for both day and evening classes, so as long as we're open during normal business hours, students will be able to come into the career resource center and utilize computers, telephones, fax, and copy machines for employment-related purposes. It'll be staffed with staff as well as career counselors and counseling staff that will help students through the career cruising program reach their pathway and set up an action plan so that they could meet their educational career goals. In addition to that, employers will be allowed from the community will be allowed to come onto our career resource center and hold on-site interviews. We've had that numerous times where employers come onto campus and want to interview students, but I think having a designated location, we believe that having a designated location for this to occur or for this to take place will definitely benefit the students. In addition to that, some of the services that we'll be offering in the career resource center. Our desktop reference systems, cork boards throughout the classroom, access to Career Cruising website on every computer that will be in there, list of job search sites, that's key. I have many students, and I know I'm not the only instructor that gets this, but we constantly get questions from students, hey, where can I find a job in this? I need to work right now, and nobody's hiring. And, personal knowledge or word of mouth, we provide them, hey, you know what, here's a website, check this, check that. I've heard these people are hiring. We get invited to many job fairs throughout our area, and we bring back flyers. But having a list of these job opportunities and websites available so students come in and search it on their own time would be beneficial to us to make things a little bit easier.
who have sample resumes, cover letters, reference lists, etc. And one thing I forgot to mention in the Career Cruising website or Career Cruising program, there is templates, resume templates, cover letters. So a student just has to find the right template for them, punch in their information, and it'll spit out a finished resume. So we'll also provide that in this Career Center. We'll practice interview etiquette techniques and mock interviews. Links to typing practice tests. One of the good things about our particular school site is that we offer typing tests, speed typing, and whatever's required to get into a clerical position. So we'll be tying these two together between the Career Center and our actual typing instructors to time test people that may need that certification to get hired into a career. We'll have a list of organizations like WorkSource Centers, EDVs that provide free or low-cost business attire, either for borrowing or for keeping. Local business fair listings. And in addition to that, we'll make sure that we have our course listings available and on hand, ready for students who may not necessarily know of some of the CTE courses we offer. And we'll have the one-on-one instruction and support with computer applications. If somebody needs upgrading or updating in their Word or office skills or anything like that, we'll have staff available to assist them in doing that. But again, this is all in the works, and we're excited about it, and I think it's going to benefit our students greatly. Any questions? Thank you.
They update their information regularly on a regular basis. Who's Nick? The Career Cruising people.
Oh, okay.
So it's all updated. There's how much you can earn at different spots, and they update places, salaries.
And remember, I'm from Montebello Community Adult Schools.
I crossed it out in my PowerPoint. Just so I crossed it out. I didn't cross it out, Adriana. I just made it accurate.
Thanks, everybody. That concludes the section, the presentations. And basically, the whole idea was to give you a sense for the breadth and the depth of the work that is taking place currently within LERIC. We talked about 10 pilot programs today. We actually have 25 pilot programs that are either in place or proposed that are supposed to be implemented this year. So with that, thank you again to all the presenters, and I'm going to cede the microphone to Mr. Stark on section 8 of the agenda.
Oh, that's great. Wow. I like that. Some of you got it.
Thanks so much for the presentations. The next time someone asks you what's happening with LERIC, you'll be able to just rattle it right off, right? All those pilots and things happening. But no, thank you so much. And again, to those of you who've been playing through the pain, we salute you. Okay, I'm just going to Elvis. He's got some. All right, so with that, we're going to move to the public comment section of the agenda. I'm not sure if we received any cards. No. Okay. So at this time, we have no action items. So the last item is our next meeting, which will be on October 14th. And I don't know if we have a location.
Burbank.
It's going to be in Burbank. So I'm going to hand it off to Emilio. He's going to tell you about where our next meeting is.
Our next meeting, if you remember Johnny Carson, is in beautiful downtown Burbank. We're located at 3811 West Allen Avenue, 91505, for those of you that want to put it into your GPS. 3811 West Allen Avenue, that's A-L-L-A-N, and it's 91505. And the general meeting, the open meeting, is at 1 p.m., and there is plenty of free parking. So we will see you there on the 14th.
Thank you, Mr. Yossi, for hosting the next meeting. I do want to thank the East LA Skills Center. I saw Ms. Rodriguez here. She was here for a moment. I think she left. But thank you so much, East LA Skills Center staff, for hosting us this afternoon. As always, very, very cordial, very hospitable. That's pretty much our show for this afternoon.
It is our show.
Thank you so much for coming. And we look forward to seeing you in Burbank in October.
Great. Thank you.
didn't have all this on you.
Come on, did you have a sandwich?
You know what?
I like your doctor. I heard him today, and it seemed very genuine.
He gave me a list of chicken items. He came to meet everyone, and he's like, I don't need to give you a list of chicken items. I need them by Tuesday. But I love that. And then he know you guys.
Okay,
thank you. Enjoy your weekend.
So you know the needle's really moving, because he's like, you have to do your part. You hand it off to him, and then he carries it the rest of the way.
So someone seems to have helped. It seems like somebody got to Chancellor Rodriguez and said, you've got to make some changes.
Well, I think in Cheeto's world, he knew the changes were coming. Last year, I only got a 1-year contract. We all just didn't realize how serious that was going to be taken. It's a good thing. Marvin, you know, was here for you in the beginning to set it up, but someone else has to run it. Because he's got a lot of college.
Yeah.
Now, this is even hard for Vice Chancellor. We need the Vice President to be here. And I told him I wouldn't apply for the Vice President. That would be a dean. I would stay in 2 years. See where I'm going to go at that point. I don't know. Oh, thank you. So, we'll see, you know, see where I end up. We didn't know we lose it. But, I mean, a Vice President level should be here. It's too hard.
I think Marvin's last year was a big and I think some of that, frankly, just from my perspective, was that he was processing things differently than he might have been before. And so I think he was happier with himself in terms of his work with Judge. Because there wasn't that. And I don't think Cheeto, from my perspective, helped him. I don't think Cheeto was a good guy for Marvin in terms of balancing things off. But I think that at certain points in time, he aggravated things.
Well, you know who was really good at this?
Hi, thank you.
I think Larry, on the other hand, you're right, was very positive, but he just didn't have.
Thank you so much.
He wasn't brought into the process.
Yeah, and he got sick.
All righty. Yes. Thank you.
Yes. Emilio, since you did Chinese, we should just have Chinese. But you know what we need to figure out? Like, we still, no matter whether we go, like, flip between here and LA, here and Burbank, whoever like should have been hosting would just cover the meal. Like I did. Like for me, it was if you guys order it, then all I have to do is call and go. Tell me to call to get my credit card number.
Okay.
So, but I told her you missed the Chinese food, so we should have done it.
We don't mind. The place is right, literally down the street.
I'm like, forget everybody. We should have. Just in case you're wondering what my pitch is.
I see.
I was just telling them that I feel like today there's something about like everything coming together and seeing the pilot and hearing about. Like that's why I asked this question. Like how hard was that for you guys?